Labyrinths is brought to you by Knox Robinson Productions. Please consider becoming a patron. For as little as $5 a month, you can listen to Labyrinths ad-free.
Visit patreon.com/KnoxRobinson to learn more.
I'm Amanda Knox.
And I'm Christopher Robinson.
And this
is Who's Right? Between our usual Labyrinths episodes, we sit down to debate something quite serious.
Or silly.
And ask you, who is right?
It's me.
It's me.
It's me.
It's clearly
me. No, definitely me.
It's me.
Me.
No, me.
It's me.
How could it be anyone but me?
Says the man sleeping on the couch.
Okay, today we are talking about Roman Polanski, R. Kelly, Louis C.K., Michael Jackson.
We're talking about the misbehaviors.
And the brilliant art they make. And whether or not we can still like it, which was the subject of our interview with Claire Dederer, author of Monsters, in the last episode of Labyrinths. Check that out if you haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's a good book that addresses something that I think a lot of people are struggling with, but that weirdly, I'm not really struggling with at all.
So I wanted to bring this up because Claire hypothesized in that interview that men perhaps find it easier to divorce the art from the artist than women do. But here you are, the shining counterexample.
I mean, am I the exception that proves the rule? I don't know. I don't know. I am trying to think of someone whose crimes have made it impossible for me to enjoy their art.
Or maybe not impossible, but just stained it in some appreciable way, which is kind of what Claire's argument is, that it's not that you can't ever watch Roman Polanski's films again. She still watches them, but they're stained.
They're just not stained for me, though, because what he did to Samantha Geimer is very different than what he did with The Pianist. I think for me, the only time that I can imagine the art ever being stained is if I knew that the art itself had a hand in the criminal activity. So,
like if a song was used to, you know, motivate the Nazis as they committed atrocities, as their like marching song, you know, does that change it for you?
Well,
what do you mean used? I'm trying to imagine what that even means.
Have people stopped watching Weinstein films because he used his power as a producer to, you know, exploit women?
I think most people aren't really even aware of what his films are.
Right. But if we cataloged them,
A lot of Matt Damon films.
It's a lot of Matt Damon films. Well, and that's curious to me because it seems to me that he used his position as a producer of film to exploit women. And does that mean that you can't enjoy the films that he had a hand in making anymore? Because they were, like, they themselves were part of his criminal activities.
I think there's an important question here about whether or not you are actively funding somebody. Is he getting residuals, you know? I've often thought about this in relation to piracy, which is a tangential topic here. But back in my internet pirate days, I would often tell myself as a justification that, you know, the Rolling Stones didn't need any more money from me. Now, if it was an indie rapper who was struggling in New York City to, you know, make it, it's a very different thing for me to pirate his album than it is to pirate Bob Dylan's new album.
Well, maybe, right? I just don't understand. You tell me if I understand how back-end funding works in the Hollywood industry, but I'm sure Weinstein isn't the only one who's profiting off of the back end. Like, people involved in the film who are perfectly innocent are also supposed to be profiting off of the back end. And so it doesn't seem fair to say, oh, I'm going to pirate this video because one person who worked on it is a freaking psychopath.
You know, I was looking at this graph the other day. I was talking about autism, and it was a graph of empathy and systematizing.
Okay.
And I think the vertical axis is empathy, and the horizontal axis was systematizer. And so the autistic zone is people who are low empathy, high systematizer.
Okay.
And that also includes people like philosophers Kant and Bentham, you know, Bentham who came up with utilitarianism, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of worldview is a very much a low empathy, high systematizer approach to something like morality. And I often feel like I'm in that, I'm bordering that space a little bit. And I don't think you are. I think
No.
you are much sort of higher natural empathy and less of a systematizer than I am. But I had sort of assumed upon seeing that before we went into this conversation that people like me who are, don't have that, you know, thumping heart for the misfortunes of others the way you do, and who are systematizers, would find it much easier to divorce art from artist. But you're telling me it's super easy for you.
Yeah.
And which is, that's what's sort of boggling my mind here.
Yeah,
maybe you should confess to the art by monstrous people that you still just love. I want to hear it.
I think, first of all, we have to acknowledge that, you know, I never was a listener of R. Kelly.
Okay.
So I'm not bereaved of his music. I do love me a Polanski film, and that guy straight up sodomized a child. So, but his movies are so good.
Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson, love his music. You know, it's interesting too, because I think about how I tend to not even really think about the artist, though, when I'm encountering art. I think it's different when it's an actor, say, and you just see their face. And mm-hmm. so you recognize, I imagine that I would have a harder time appreciating Polanski's work, say, if he was an actor as opposed to a director, because a movie that's directed by someone, well.
Yeah. I mean, if you found out that, like, Tom Hanks was secretly this Bill Cosby type villain all these years,
I think all of us would
we would all
die.
A bunch of us would die.
but
could you watch Forrest Gump again?
I wonder because suddenly his face is associated with some other kind of brutal. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of an example of somebody who's done something and now I can't watch their art or look at their art anymore, and I'm just struggling to think of anyone.
I mean, I've thought about going back to poetry world in the modernist era. People like Ezra Pound, T.S. Eliot, there's some deep anti-Semitism.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And
it's pretty gross.
It never prevented me from appreciating Ezra Pound's poetry. Even the poetry that had anti-Semitic lines in it, I would just sort of be like, yeah, that one's not for me. But it didn't stop me from liking the other poems. And you know, I'll go on the record and say more than it's not for me, like, that's reprehensible, you know. But I've always found it kind of easy to just set that aside and be like, that's a character flaw of this person. They had some bigotry in their heart, and that sucks. But they also did this brilliant thing over here.
Yeah, I feel like the same way. I've never struggled with that. Now, here's an interesting thought experiment, though. How would I feel if Rudy Gaudet had an art exhibition and it turned out he does great portraits of
people?
Yeah,
this is the man who murdered Meredith Kircher and who still blames Amanda
for
his crime.
I feel like I'm of the space of he did quote his time, although he didn't really do his time. He didn't really get fully accountable to his crimes. But a part of me is like, isn't he more than the worst thing he's ever done and still does, because he's assaulting more women now and blaming other people, you know? So I'm trying to be very progressively thoughtful about him. But at the same time, I feel like if I heard that he had a art exhibition, I'd be a little bit like, fuck that guy and fuck his art. Which is weird for me to acknowledge, given, like, I can't justify that intellectually. But maybe he would be, I'm just trying to imagine. I really am struggling.
I mean, here's the question I always ask is, like, if a human being has contributed negatively to the world in some way,
mm-hmm.
they've added harm to the world,
mm-hmm.
right? Wouldn't you want them to also have added good? Isn't the world a better place if this person wasn't solely a font of evil? But, you know, let's say that they were really kind to their family. Even just something like that, just to know that, like, yes, this person committed these other harms towards other people, to say it's a Ted Bundy, but is it a better world or a worse world if Ted Bundy was really nice to his mom and his grandma?
Well, I think that it's a more real and interesting world when you acknowledge that that is very often the case and that it's very unusual for someone who does bad things to be solely a bad person.
Right.
And I think that's the problem, is people want it to be one way or the other, and it's just not. But I also live, like, with that. I'm very comfortable with that fact. So I don't find discomfort in the knowledge that some people are really good dancers and also beat their wives, you know? Like, I don't know. It's just, I wouldn't want to be that person's wife, and I feel bad, and I would try to, like, if I had it in my power, I would try to convince any woman never to get near him.
Mm-hmm.
But does that stop him from tap dancing? Like, tap dance away, my friend.
Interesting. That was tap dancing you were thinking of.
Oh.
I was imagining some other kind of dance.
Like what?
Popping and locking or something.
I don't even know what that looks like.
Mm. So would you argue then that we ought to appreciate the good that people do despite the bad that they've done? Like, is it actually a sort of moral imperative? Like, no, dude, value it. Value R. Kelly's music. Is it to each their own?
I think to each their own. I take ultimately a similar tact that Claire does in her book, which is, it's up to you. And you are, I mean, I also am of the opinion that your feelings about art aren't really up to you. They just happen to you. And so if the art speaks to you, great. If it doesn't speak to you, also, that's fine. And you don't have to go out of your way to appreciate art. If you learn, here's something interesting. What comes first? Do you encounter the art first, or do you encounter the crime of the person first?
Yeah.
I think that might potentially taint your ability to appreciate the art, because now there's a whole context around it. But if you loved something, like all Tom Hanks movies, and then only after his death do you find out that he was secretly drinking children's blood, then, yeah, you know, like, it's
don't
very different.
Don't betray us, Tom Hanks.
Put the vial of children's blood down.
If you're listening to this, Tom Hanks, don't you do it.
So I wonder if that has a factor, but again, like,
You know, there's a real life example of this.
What is this?
And it's not, you know, the most heinous person you can imagine, but depending on your political affiliation and what sort of media you were consuming in the early 2000s, like, a lot of people really, really, really hated George W. Bush.
Mm.
And they came to know him as the guy who went into Iraq and, you know, Halliburton and all this stuff they saw as corruption and so forth. And not only is this guy a dumb dude and a dimwit, but he's a bad president who made immoral, unethical choices.
But you know what?
You know,
he's actually a good painter.
And then you saw his paintings.
And then I saw his paintings and I was like, huh, I loved that.
You liked his paintings.
I loved his paintings.
So it turns out, even for you, when you've already, and maybe you didn't have that animosity towards him.
You know
him.
What? I protested.
You did.
Yeah, I marched against the war. That was the only time I've ever, like, marched except for with the Innocence Project. I took time off of school
to go protest
the war.
And then a few decades later, there you are enjoying W's paintings.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? Should have stuck to those paintings.
I know. Just like Hitler. So let's say somebody finds out that you watched Louis C.K.'s latest special.
Uh-huh. Which I did.
And that you paid $10 for it.
Did we pay $10 for it?
I think we did.
Yeah, so we did.
Yeah.
We
gave Louis C.K. money.
Yeah.
We're owning up to that.
It's funny.
What do you say if they say, how could you? How could you support that guy?
I guess I'm just not anticipating.
Just like to each their own? Like,
yeah,
back off?
Yeah, to each their own. I think he's a funny comedian. I'm glad that he's not masturbating in front of unconsenting people anymore.
What if it was one of those people that he did that to, who came up to you and said, he harmed me and he, you know, held my career back. He did this fucked up stuff to me and I can't believe you're supporting him, Amanda.
I'd probably want to have a conversation with them and then reconsider my feelings after having talked to them. But right now, I think, as far as I know, the people who he has harmed are doing okay.
Yeah, but I mean, you're doing okay. That doesn't make Rudy Gaudet's crime okay, right?
But I also don't think I would hold it against somebody who went to his art exhibition. I just probably wouldn't myself.
I mean, that's interesting. You would be like, I can't believe this guy has an art exhibition and that anyone cares about it. I can't believe people like his art. But you wouldn't up to your friend and say, how could you go to his art show?
No, I would never do that. But also, I might, depending on how good his art is, I might actually concede that he's a good artist.
Hmm.
I would just be like, this fuckhead's a good artist, you know? I'm really good at divorcing the art from the artist. Let's just say that. It just seems, I have a hard time connecting the art with the artist, I think is my issue.
Hmm.
Hey, listeners. Thanks for tuning in. This podcast is only possible thanks to listener support. So please consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/KnoxRobinson.
Does knowing that Keanu Reeves is a really nice guy make you like Keanu Reeves films more?
No. But it does make me like Keanu Reeves as a person more.
They're just disconnected
things
for you.
They're just disconnected for me. I don't think The Matrix is better knowing that Keanu Reeves is a good person. I just think Keanu Reeves is a good person and The Matrix is awesome. They're two different questions for me. Same thing with like all of Tom Hanks's films. It's just like, yeah, they're all great and he's a good guy.
So what is it about us that this seems so natural to divorce the art from the artist? Why do other people have a problem with this? What are we missing here?
That's maybe a good question for our audience, because I don't want to speculate about it necessarily. I think that maybe there is the platforming issue of there's infinite people out there who are trying to put art out into the world and there's not enough space. And if someone's a bad person, why not just clear some space for someone else who's a good person to come and make some art? I could see that being a good argument.
I mean, for me, with something like Louis C.K., I think he should have suffered consequences for what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has suffered big consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people really tend to undervalue how big of a deal it is to go through massive public shaming.
Oh, yeah, it's horrific.
And I only know about that just from being next to you.
Mm.
And so when they're like, I can't believe this guy is still able to do comedy shows, it's like, yeah, but like the whole world knows and judges him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a huge thing to
be
judged.
It's a huge thing. And like actually the courage it takes him to go back out and do comedy is kind of incredible.
I mean, even if he didn't lose any money, which he did, even if he didn't lose,
lot of people would kill themselves in his situation.
Yeah. And his career kind of permanently dropped down a couple echelons. Like he was in a place of like hosting the Oscars, right? And having TV shows on Netflix. And he's never going to have that sort of thing again. He is totally independent.
If he did eventually down the line, I think that it's really not to be underestimated how being outed for something like that bad and that embarrassing is sometimes enough for people to just call their whole life quits.
Yeah, maybe the question is like, imagine if your most embarrassing, shameful thing.
Yeah.
Not an immoral or illegal thing necessarily, but just like the most shameful, embarrassing thing that you have privately.
Mm-hmm.
What would you pay to not let that go out to millions of people? Because that's the value of that punishment that mm-hmm. was given to him. So, you know, when I think about that, I'm like, yeah, that guy got punished. And so, and also there's plenty of people who are boycotting him and who, for whatever reason, can't separate art from artist and maybe don't find him funny anymore, even if they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm aware that his audience
I will say
shrunk.
That his masturbating jokes have a different tinge to them.
Does he still do masturbating jokes?
I don't think so. I think
that's a good move on his
part.
Yeah.
That's when that art and life thing become a little blurred.
Well, this is something Claire brought up about Woody Allen and how, you know, when the Woody Allen character in one of his films is dating a teenager, that's a little too close to reality.
Right. Especially when in the film, it's just like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
And I think, you know, that's, so maybe we've narrowed in here on the place where you couldn't really separate art from artist.
Mm-hmm. When like, it seems like they're, through their art, they're having, they're making some kind of commentary on their crime.
And in a not apologetic,
yes,
remorseful way.
Yeah, I think that would be tough for me.
Yeah, like if Weinstein somehow was still producing films
about
predatory
producers
men
who were taking like, advantage of actresses.
He'd be like, no, fuck that. You don't get to make money from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe we are the outliers here. I'm really curious what our listeners think about this.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually very curious to know, like, as much as there has been a lot of outspoken conversation about this in the ether,
mm-hmm.
I wonder how many people actually care.
I also wonder the people who are shouting about, like, how dare you support this person? I wonder how many of those people actually were fans to begin with,
mm-hmm.
because maybe the case is that most people are like us. Like, I don't really know. That's why we're putting this out here. I want to know. But if a lot of people are kind of in the same psychological space we are, then maybe what that means is that the people who were never R. Kelly fans are the ones shouting about how could you put R. Kelly's song on. But the people who were R. Kelly fans are like, yeah, he should be in prison, but that song still bangs. Bang was probably the wrong word.
Yeah.
There.
I don't know. I never liked R. Kelly's music, so I didn't feel betrayed by him turning out to be rapey.
Yeah. Hey, who else is at the top of this list of monstrous men?
Hmm.
No, not necessarily
men. Or just monsters, any kind of monster.
I mean, I don't think I could go watch The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
In the same way. It would be like a weird scientific curiosity.
Hmm.
Like, I don't think I would be able to just sit there and like zone out and forget that that Bill Cosby is Bill Cosby.
Right. I guess I never watched The Cosby Show either. So.
I mean, I think part of it is that he's just playing like a version of himself,
right?
It's like Larry David, right? It's a magnified, it's a TV-ified version of himself,
mm-hmm.
but it's basically him. And so, I mean, this would be a good question for like, you know, if it turned out that Larry David was this horrific child molester. I don't think you are Larry David, but if that turned out to be the case, Curb Your Enthusiasm would probably be a lot harder to watch because he's just playing himself.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know, babe. I'm just having a hard time. Maybe it's because I'm sick and so my brain is not working as well, but I just can't think of anybody who I would be concerned about learning. You know, I don't got it in me.
So on the day that the Tom Hanks news breaks,
then we'll talk again.
Honestly, every time I see a news alert about Tom Hanks, a small part of me is like, don't be that.
You get news alerts about Tom Hanks?
You know, I mean, like, whatever. The New York Times will send a push notification.
I see.
During the beginning of the pandemic, there was like, Tom Hanks has COVID.
Oh, and you were you like, know? Is it Tom Hanks?
Yeah, I'm like,
gave COVID to the world?
It's either Tom Hanks might die or Tom Hanks is a monster. And like both of those would be tragic.
It would be tragic.
He just needs to live forever and be perfect.
All right. So that's the takeaway of this session.
Okay. Well, let us know what you think.
Is there anyone who you've lost appreciation for their art for? I'm struggling to think of somebody, but...
And do you judge us for still liking Michael Jackson's songs or... I mean, Thriller is just... It's
so good.
And what do you think about the idea that the world is a better place if people who've done bad things also contribute beauty?
Or is that just confusing and hard to deal with?
Let us know who's right. And as always, you can find out more about our work and how to support it at knoxrobinson.com.
Thanks, everyone.
In the Labyrinth's podcast system, the listener is serenaded by two separate but equally important hosts, Amanda Knox, who brings authenticity and empathy, and Christopher Robinson, who brings intellectual curiosity. These are their stories.
What do you think, Knox?
Looks like a podcast junkie, shot up with one too many ads.
Should have become a patron from the looks of it.
Who wouldn't prefer ad-free episodes and signed books and live video hangouts over overdosing on ads in an alleyway?
Don't patronize me, Knox. Leave that to the listener.
Visit patreon.com/KnoxRobinson.